Dr. Florence Comite, endocrinologist and founder of Comite Center for Precision Medicine and Health in New York City and Silicon Valley, and the personalized health app, Grok Health. You can find me on Instagram and social media at Comite Center, and you can check out grokhealth.com. My bestseller, Keep It Up, is available on Amazon.
Dr. Comite, we've been talking about N of One. What is N of One? This is key to what you do at the Comite Center.
Absolutely. Love that term, and I've been using it for many years, but now I think it's becoming popular. And in medicine, when we do research in people, we refer to the size of a population cohort, meaning the group of people we study, as N. For example, if you have 100 people in your trial, you would define N of 100. In an N of one clinical trial, it's a single patient. In conventional evidence-based medicine, it's usually very large trials. Even 100 people would be considered small. It's more like 1,000 or even 10,000. The more evidence or the more people data, the better, is what we think in academic medicine or conventional evidence-based medicine.
Why aren't all trials N of one?
The trials that are N of one actually just address a single human being. And that's a big debate in science and medicine, because on one hand, a huge population study really doesn't meet every individual's needs. But on the other hand, an N of one trial is very costly, and it takes a lot of time to apply it to every single therapy. And that's why N of one trials are often limited, for example, to rare diseases. And so when you have a small group, you can do these N of one trials. But when there are a great many people who are suffering, let's say, with heart disease or lung disease or need an answer, you can't do N of one. You need to study a huge group, thousands typically.
How does the FDA get involved? And you're talking about FDA guidance.
Right. So there was a new approval for FDA approving N of one trials. And that's the new FDA news, that there's guidance for researchers and clinicians or physician scientists on how to conduct and analyze these N of one trials. This is specifically for drugs that use small pieces of RNA or DNA, our genetic material, to block genes from making proteins that cause rare disease. And so this hope is that this understanding and learning and research will ultimately benefit a broader patient population than the single person in the trial. So when you use this particular drug in one person or a group of people where each person is using it in N of one, that the science that's used will help us understand it and apply it to a bigger group. Let me give you an example. So the science of using a drug, for example, to block cell growth is applicable to several types of cancer. And then you can take the N of one trials and use it in a larger group of people.
How does this apply to COVID vaccines?
So in the use of COVID vaccines, we talk about the need to have all the evidence for an individual patient and also the rush to find a cure. Are people in healthcare talking about N of one right now? And they are. There are lots of N of one accounts of novel therapies, new therapies that are used to manage severe cases of COVID-19 related illnesses, including like respiratory support, people who have had difficulty breathing, seizures, heart disease, even children with COVID, children who have COVID that lasts a long time. Just yesterday, I had one of our patients here whose granddaughter was tested negative originally and continues to have fever on and off. And it turns out that although she tested negative originally, now she's testing positive. So we're learning more and more about individuals. So more important than these specific trials, I think, is what N of one says about our very black and white approach in medicine today. On one hand, all our patient care revolves around individual people. When you go see a doctor, we see a doctor and the doctor asks us what's wrong and we get help from the doctor. That's N of one. But at the same time, a lot of the guidance we get is from huge trials where it's one size fits all. And so you can understand where that doesn't always make sense. It's kind of like a misfit We're judging what we prescribe based on one size fits all, when your needs and my needs may be completely different. And that's where interpretation and using N of One guidance is very important.
A lot of people are upset after the illnesses, after the vaccine, and it just heightens fear that people have of taking the vaccine. How does this relate to what we're talking about this morning?
Yes, that's exactly the point, Pat. People don't know how this particular vaccine, even though it was tested in thousands of people, all the different companies that came out with the vaccine, Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, they tested the vaccine very carefully in thousands of people. And then they report on the test. And they'll report every little effect of the vaccine, because that's the way reporting goes. You must do that. That means whether you had a slight cough, whether you got nauseated, whether you got a hangnail. Honestly, because that has to go in the report. But then translating that to you or me or anybody who's going to get a vaccine, you have to have a leap of faith, and you don't know how it will translate to the individual. And so once that vaccine is out there, we're going to learn more about how it affects you and me. And that's where the N of One is really important. Doctors know that, but the rules don't necessarily apply to each one of us. And that's where understanding how we work with individuals is so important. And the good news is that we've been working with vaccines for many decades. And we know in general, vaccines are really not a problem. They generally treat people, when I say generally, I'm talking greater than 95%, that they're very specific to what they've been developed to do. That means that they treat the specific virus that we're going after with exactly what they intended to do. You get the vaccine tackles that virus, it turns on your immune system, and the reaction to the vaccine is specific to the virus, and the rest of your body does okay. Now, do you get a little response to it where you might feel fatigue or a little feverish, the same kind of response you might get to the flu vaccine? Absolutely, that can happen, and it has happened already. But as far as risk of, let's say, death or severe illness, that has not happened. And thousands of people have gotten the vaccine already around the world from all these companies. So I understand the fear, because COVID itself causes a lot of fear. And then bringing out a vaccine as quickly as we did might seem scary. But in fact, this part of science has been around for many decades, and the expertise that was brought to it should be very comforting to most people. So the one area that I believe we should think about is allergic reactions. If you have a lot of allergies or you've reacted before to vaccines, that's what people should be concerned about. That's the one area I think we would worry about. But the rest of it, I think the expertise is there for people who want the vaccine and should get the vaccine.
The percentage of people who want to take the vaccine is up to 40 to 50% now. We're headed in the right direction. Do we need a greater percent of the population, do you think, to have this whole Operation Warp Speed be successful and get enough people vaccinated?
I do think we need as many people to get the vaccine as we can make happen. And here's where I think it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Once people see that those who get the vaccine do well, and there's enough stories about that, and we're happy to add to that mix, I think it will reassure those who are on the fence to get the vaccine. In fact, yeah. I've seen it here at the center amongst my own staff. There were several people on the fence, and then they watched as others took the vaccine and did well to raise their hand and say, okay, I'm ready. And these are even folks who know they're at risk or have family members at risk, so they're concerned about bringing the vaccine home, yet they have to work and they want to work. So we have been answering questions, we've been reassuring them, and this is in an educated population who've heard me speak about COVID, heard me speak about the vaccine. And so I think it's not a surprise that people are scared and concerned. This is new. This is scary. Look what it did to decimate the world. 82 million people had COVID. Many people died because we didn't know enough about it. We didn't know it fast enough. We didn't put in place enough care to take care of them. Even in Southern California now, they're overwhelmed in the ICUs, Texas as well. So we may be modern medicine, but we didn't get there quickly enough. So So I think it will spread, news will spread that everybody is doing well, and I think those numbers will shoot up. So I think we're aiming to get above 70-80%. And then I think the reassurance will set in, and the fact that COVID will no longer, you know, scare everybody around the world. I think all the prohibitions will lift. That's what we're aiming for.
Yes, fingers crossed.
What do you feel, Pat? What's your feeling about the vaccine?
I think it'll work, and I think people should start lining up. States are not so far doing a great job to inform people about what's going on, what they can actually do, how they can sign up and get the vaccine. There isn't enough information coming out. It's very disconcerting. You're a doctor. You probably have much more information than I. Why aren't we getting that information?
And I think it's because they don't know enough. And I leave it that way. I give them the fact, and then I tell them, listen, these are the pros and cons, but think about it carefully. You want to protect yourself. You want to protect your family. And there are far fewer cons than pros. And that's what our news leaders have to come out with.
But my point is there a list that I can get on? Should I show up at a certain medical center at a certain time? Am I on the list, or do I have to wait until the 75-year-olds end up get vaccinated? It's supposed to be up to the state. Well, what about my doctor is in New Jersey, but I live in Pennsylvania. Does that affect me? Well, here's another thing. Pennsylvania has only distributed 40% of the vaccines that they have allotted to them. 40%. Now, why?
I did predict, if you go back to our talk, everybody was saying we won't have anything until the middle of 2021. Yeah. I actually studied everything and said, no, we're going to have it by December, but it's going to be early in the year. And I think people want to contain expectations, but I think it's going to come faster than we think. I think it's going to get here sooner than people think. I think everybody who's going to need it is going to be able to get it before the end of February. Like it's going to be sooner rather than later.
That's really good. To wrap up what we've been talking about, so what role do physician leaders have in amplifying what we've been talking about with N of One, short of building an app like some people are?
Yes, that's been a dream, a lifetime dream, and it's coming to fruition. That is a great question. And I think physicians know this already, because when they sit in front of their patient, they are talking to a singular person. They're careful. They walk a fine line, because what's drilled into us in medicine is above all, do no harm. And if they're excellent physicians, and of course, more physicians are excellent than not, and I am biased coming from a big family of physicians with one outlier who's a lawyer, what we do is get that patient's story. It's a very important aspect of what we do as physicians. Take the story, treat that as the most important aspect of what we do, because then we learn what the patient is about and what they're dealing with. And then we apply what we know in medicine. And that's why there's a very eloquent piece I read when people with COVID were suffering and at the bedside of dying patients, the physician said, above all, their oath is to save a life. So they didn't just wait and do palliative stuff to help them die. They actually searched for ways to keep people alive. And as such, they found that vitamin D and vitamin C and steroids infused and treatments that actually save lives, because that's how we're trained. And that's what we do in practice every single day. And so while there are protocols and while much of that we do in conventional medicine is population research, one size fits all, what we really do when we sit in front of a human being is we try to find out how we're going to help that human being. Search for a doctor that does that for you. Each one of us needs that. And that's what true N of One medicine means to me and means to most of my colleagues.